Each week, hosts Lizanne Saunders, Schwab's chief investment strategist, and Kathy Jones, Schwab's chief fixed income strategist, bring you fresh insights on what's happening in the market now. Join Kathy and Lizanne as they explore questions like, what indicators should you watch for signs of change? And what sectors of the stock market are outperforming? Listen today at schwab.com/oninvesting or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe you've noticed that when it comes to business, the people who succeed tend to be the people who seek out partners with skills or knowledge that they don't have. And that's what Lenovo's free online membership program, Lenovo Pro, can do for small businesses. If you're not a tech expert, that's where Lenovo can help. So you can add Lenovo's team to yours and then lean on them for all your tech questions for free. Visit Lenovo.com/Lenovo Pro to sign up for free. That's Lenovo.com/Lenovo Pro.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. I'm Tom Keane, along with Paul Sweeney. Join us each day for insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. You can also watch the show live on YouTube. Visit the Bloomberg Podcast channel on YouTube to see the show weekday mornings from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern from our global headquarters in New York City. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen. And always on Bloomberg Radio, the Bloomberg Terminal, and the Bloomberg Business App.
Amanda Lynam takes an accounting approach to fixed income. She's in macro credit research at BlackRock, which is an important point. And that's important today, particularly with what we see in markets and moving. We're going to do some politics with Zach Cohen here in 15 minutes. Amanda, I look at the way the markets are moving, and there's got to be a signal here. I got Atlanta GDP now off good consumption yesterday, popping a solid economy, 2.x%, 2.3, 2.4%, whatever. I got global deflation, disinflation. I got a soggy IMF report. Within that arching theme, why is it price up, yield down right now?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. All right. So this environment of above trend growth has actually provided a rally to lower quality within the corporate credit, I think, is important. It's mirroring what you're seeing in the equity market, where you've had small caps outperform recently. And it's been striking. I think one of the themes that we've had over actually the past several months has been dispersion, but not widespread market disruption. We've noted the importance of the growth backdrop in giving corporates the ability to navigate higher cost of capital. What's actually really interesting, I was reading through the large bank transcripts. They've basically said that 1Q and 2Q both are a pull forward from later this year. I think that makes a lot of sense given the event risk. So we're tracking at this pace well above last year's level, but it seems there's an expectation from the large banks that that's going to slow down in the second half of the year.
I mean, about 4.18% on the 10-year yield, we're not that far from 3.99%.
I know, we're on that watch. I look at the IN Go function on the Bloomberg Terminal for the Bloomberg Index browser. Far and away, high yield is the best performer this year to date. It was similarly last year as well. People aren't too concerned about an economic slowdown, it doesn't seem like.
Right, and also the yield environment, the elevated risk-free rate, gives you a bit of a cushion because you've got an all-in yield that is pretty attractive by historical standards. So even if you do have ongoing normalization of losses, which we're seeing across credit, consumer, commercial real estate, right? You're seeing that across a lot of different asset classes. It absorbs a lot of the ability. Mm. The one thing I will say, though, it's really difficult to invest at the index yield, right? That the high yield market is very bifurcated at the moment. It has been for some time, where you've got a big chunk of the index actually trading well inside of 200 spread, right? The index is at 303 or something like that. You've got a big chunk of the index that's well tied of that. You've got a big chunk of the index that's actually kind of in distressed territory. Well, I would say a smaller part of the index that's in distressed territory. It all comes out kind of in the wash of an index level metric, but it's hard to deploy capital there. So it really does, I think that sweet spot of single Bs is probably where you want to focus, because outside of like that single B range, it's actually quite tight.
So where else in credit do you find I'm not sure if it's even value these days.
I think floating rate products still offers a fair amount of relative value. The curve is still inverted. So being in short duration, floating rate product does allow you to pick up some yield. In the leveraged finance market, this trade-off between leveraged loans and high-yield bonds has been very, very topical. I would say on net, it still skews in favor of leveraged loans, but it's becoming more balanced.
How big is that market, the leveraged
loan? Leveraged loan market is $1.4 trillion in the U.S. It's actually roughly the same size as the U.S. high-yield bond market. So it's for sure a sizable institutional asset class. For a lot of folks that want to build in some structural protections, they'll migrate up into, say, AAA-rated CLOs, for example. Okay. But the technicals across credit have been incredibly strong. So even though we've had a lot of issuance, it's been extremely well absorbed, especially in high-yield and leveraged loans where most of it's refinancing related. It's not a lot of kind of leveraged M&A.
Can you explain why tech doesn't want to issue exceptionally inexpensive bills, notes, and bonds?
Well, I think that that industry, alongside certain parts of pharma, it's already kind of cash rich, right? So they're generating a ton of cash. They have a lot of cash.
It's dirt cheap.
I do think if I'm a CFO or a treasurer, the prudent thing to do is to build in some extra cushion in terms of refinancing and pre-funding maturities years in advance. In high yield, for example, we're seeing corporates pre-funding late 2025 and 2026 maturities. Wow. So they're well ahead of schedule. And I think it's prudent. I think that's the right thing to do.
Go outside your remit. Then how do you respond to the gloom crew? Because I'm not hearing the gloom crew from Amanda this morning, Paul.
Well, yeah, I think the gloom crew exists in isolation. The consumer is bifurcated. So in aggregate, retail spending sales, for example, yesterday were very strong in aggregate. Mm-hmm. But you are seeing bifurcation within the consumer.
Yeah.
You are seeing, I would say, pockets of stress. But for the past few quarters, we have not been in a recession kind of base case scenario. So we've been pushing back against that as well.
Thank you for getting us started. With Mark, we have to remind ourselves, forget about Milwaukee. Markets are moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amanda Lynam with us.
Each week, hosts Lizanne Saunders, Schwab's chief investment strategist, and Kathy Jones, Schwab's chief fixed income strategist, analyze economic developments and bring you fresh insights on what's happening in the market now. Join Kathy and Lizanne as they explore questions like, what indicators should you watch for signs of change? And what sectors of the stock market are outperforming? They'll often interview prominent guests from across the world of investing and business, bringing context to conversations around market cycles, Fed policies, inflation, and more. Listen today at schwab.com/oninvesting or wherever you get your podcasts. That's schwab.com/oninvesting.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This summer of 2024 in journalism, there is no one under greater scrutiny than Brad Stone. He's editor of Bloomberg Businessweek, and he's done the impossible. He launched a monthly Bloomberg Businessweek, and I do agree to keep the name Businessweek. You have to, from our childhood. And he hit the ball deep to left field. In the Red Sox terminology, Brad Stone, it's over the wall, over the turnpike, over the cask and flagon, with a thick, readable magazine centered around Arnault and Louis Vuitton and Tiffany and such. To do it again a month later is extraordinary. And last night, Mr. Stone and his team launched a new Bloomberg Businessweek issue with Donald Trump on the cover. Brad, congratulations. Before we get to the Trump interview on Jerome Powell and so much, what is the thrust of the new monthly Bloomberg Business Week? What is the Brad Stone message to your troops?
Well, first of all, Tom, thank you. And, you know, I'm from Cleveland, so really that ball's landing on East 9th Street. But I appreciate it. Look, it's a monthly magazine. We got 12 cracks at that cover story a year. We want an iconic business leader or political leader or personality, business personality on that cover. We're aiming high. So yeah, Bernard Arnault was setting the standard with the first issue. Obviously, the Olympics going to Paris, and he's one of the wealthiest people in the world, very poorly understood. For the second issue, we put letters out to both campaigns asking for time with each candidate. The Trump campaign responded, and I went down there with Mario Parker, our wonderful policy editor, Nancy Cook, and Josh Green.
What was this, the distinction? What did you learn from Mr. Trump? What was the singular surprise in Florida?
Well, I mean, we can get into the details of what he said, but, you know, of course, I had never met President Trump in person. And I have to say, you know, when you put him in front of a camera or in front of a crowd, you know, he speaks with a great sense of grievance, particularly with regards to the media. And I think the biggest surprise was in person, he's solicitous. You know, he tries to play the host. Look, this is no great insight into the psychology of someone we've all been studying for over a decade, but he wants people to like him. I showed him the Arnault cover, and he wanted to know if Arnault had said anything about him, if he was on his side, so to speak. And of course, I told him that I'd written two books about Amazon and Jeff Bezos, and he wanted to know.
Must have gone well.
Yeah. Well, no. In the interview, of course, he rails against the Washington Post. As I was chatting with him afterwards, he wanted to know if Lauren Sanchez, Bezos's fiance, was a Trump fan. So that might tell you a little bit more about you know, he's calculating who's on his team and who's not.
Right. Brad, what did you learn about what the president may envision if he were to get a second term?
Right. And back to Tom's first question, you know, our lane is business and the economy. And so we went down there with a very specific mission to ask him about Trumponomics, what it meant, what his plans were beyond, you know, some of the very broad strokes that have allowed proxies to come in with things like Project 2025 or a white paper saying that he would curb the independence of the Federal Reserve. And in some respects, he corrected the record. You know, he said Jerome Powell that he'd let him serve out his full term to May 2026 as chairman. You know, he kind of caveated that if I like what he's doing. He said that he could consider Jamie Dimon for Treasury Secretary. And then in terms of the broad strokes, you know, it's an unorthodox economic plan because he's attacking inflation, but then he talks about 10% tariffs across the board, maybe 100% tariffs for China, lowering the corporate tax rate. He said even maybe to 15%. He likes big, big round numbers, shutting down immigration at the border, which would, of course, tighten an already tight labor market and maybe raise wages and then potentially raise prices. So, you know, there's some contradiction there.
Where is corporate America, do you think, vis-a-vis Donald Trump? Or maybe how does Donald Trump view corporate America and the support that he, are they on his team? Are they not on his team?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I mean, so first of all, we did ask him. And I have to say, this was June 25th in Mar-a-Lago. So 2 days before the debate and almost 2 weeks before the assassination attempt. And at the time, you really had no one. And we quizzed him on that, and he kind of bristled. He said that the meeting with the business roundtable, despite what had been reported, was a love fest. He said they like you when you're leading, which was an interesting sort of glimmer of self-awareness from him.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of where they are, I think there are two places. One, there's kind of explicit and contrarian support among some business leaders in Silicon Valley, like Elon Musk recently. And then there's quiet. And I wrote my editor's letter about this. And other than, you know, some maybe braver individuals, you know, Reid Hoffman, the executive chairman of LinkedIn, et cetera, they're keeping their nose down because this is a president who was, you know, a bit vindictive towards perceived enemies. And he still brings up Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook because he believes he got wronged by Zuckerberg after January 6th when he was kicked off the platform. And so there's really no game in it for business leaders to kind of take a side, particularly if they're running a big public company and have an obligation to their shareholders.
Brad, we got to get you on for like a one-hour interview, three-hour interview. I got like 8 questions. Let me go back to James Dimon. Brad, your take here, and of course, with your world-class ownership of the Amazon story, I've sat 7 feet behind Donald Trump as he spoke to the business elite of Wall Street at the Economic Club of New York. You're telling me Secretary Dimon is going to listen to Donald Trump? Help me with that.
Well, you know, it's funny because one of the things that he did say when we said, you know, what would be different this time around with the suggestion that, you know, he sort of, you know, killed himself with his own chaos and, you know, and unpredictability the last time around. And what his big revelation was, well, this time I know everyone. I'm more experienced. And he even said that, you know, he made some mistakes last time that he selected some people. And of course, now we know who they are, leading right up to the former vice president who ultimately were not with him. So he'd surround him with sycophants. So I do think it's a good, you know, he this is what he said, that Jamie Dimon, you know, he'd wanted him in his administration or Glenn Youngkin. But right, it's a great question. Why would they do that, considering where so many of those cabinet members ended up the last time around?
Brad, thank you so much.
Each week, hosts Lizanne Saunders, Schwab's chief investment strategist, and Kathy Jones, Schwab's chief fixed income strategist, analyze economic developments and bring you fresh insights on what's happening in the market now. Join Kathy and Lizanne as they explore questions like, what indicators should you watch for signs of change? And what sectors of the stock market are outperforming? They'll often interview prominent guests from across the world of investing and business, bringing context to conversations around market cycles, Fed policies, inflation, and more. Listen today at schwab.com/oninvesting or wherever you get your podcasts. That's schwab.com/oninvesting.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
James Stravitas. He joined the U.S. Navy when it was the least popular thing to do in our modern lifetimes. I'm going to guess 1975. His first ship was out of San Diego with the Padres in the background and went across the Pacific Ocean and beyond. He's a former Supreme Commander of NATO. Too short a visit today with James Stravitas. I want you to discuss, James, I don't know if you heard it, but as we were coming into us, we were speaking of the Chicago Tribune isolationism, which is comfort for Senator Vance. To explain to Republicans that isolationism just doesn't work.
Three reasons. One, let's look at history. Late 20s, we tried this. We walked away from the League of Nations. We built enormous tariff barriers, the Hawley Smoot tariffs. We isolated from the world. How did that work out? We cracked the global economy. You can drop a plumb line to fascism. So history is instructive. Number two, we're so globally interconnected economically that trying to simply walk away from the world in a geopolitical sense will crack those relationships and leave Russia free to operate and do what it wants, to quote somebody, in Europe, or China to do the same in Asia. So the trade, the economics, and third, and maybe most important, it's the values. If we isolate ourselves, the jungle will grow back, and democracy, liberty, freedom, all of the things we cherish will be at risk. I think those are the three key arguments, Tom.
So, Admiral, what is your view at this stage about how a second Trump presidency would unfold in terms of, you know, some of our geopolitical military policies?
Well, we just discussed the big concern would be isolationism, would be anti-interventionism, if you will, a sense that, hey, let's just come home, let's not worry about the world. Again, we've tried that. It won't work. It fails in a number of reasons. So isolationism concerns me. Second is the generally erratic nature of foreign policy in Trump 1. 1 minute, we're going to attack North Korea. Little Rocket Man is enemy number one. the next minute we're doing love letters with President Xi of China. We're erecting big tariff barriers. But right before that, he comes to Mar-a-Lago for a wonderful, friendly dinner. All of that erratic behavior, I think, is very concerning. And then third and finally, it's it's connected to the first one. It's the divisiveness that this right. will probably engender here at home, which weakens us abroad.
Admiral, in the time we've got left with you, it's easy to go to Ukraine. We'll do that with you. I hope we can get another conversation on Ukraine soon, Admiral Stravitas. I want to go to the real world, and this is the Stravitas world. It's not the romance. It's like 100-degree heat, and you're on the ocean. You're going, where am I? Jim, it's the Exercise Tiger Triumph 2024 between India and the United States of America in the middle of nowhere in the India Ocean. And the answer is we've got people at risk there. The 5th Marine Expeditionary Unit, the P-8A Poseidon Maritime Patrol, etc. I'd suggest most Americans don't even understand we're in the Indian Ocean.
The Indian Ocean is going to be a key economic area. India is growing powerfully. When the history of this century is written 200 years from now, it won't be about the rise of China. It'll be about the rise of India. So the more the United States operates, engages with India, and by the way, brings along Japan and Australia to create that quad alliance structure in the Pacific, the better off
okay.
we'll be. I say.
Well, I'm going to interrupt because we're running out of time. Admiral Stravitas, it's simple. You're going to bring along Japan. How do you bring along the Republican Party?
Well, I'll say it's easier to bring along Japan because they're facing real threats right in front of them from China and North Korea. The way you bring along the Republican Party is doing exactly what we're doing now, Tom. It's having the conversation, right. It's persuasion, it is showing the facts and doing it all in a civil, sensible way that gets us out of this politics of violence and back to a politics of intellectual discussion and policy.
James Stravitas, thank you so much.
Each week, hosts Lizanne Saunders, Schwab's chief investment strategist, and Kathy Jones, Schwab's chief fixed income strategist, analyze economic developments and bring you fresh insights on what's happening in the market now. Join Kathy and Lizanne as they explore questions like, what indicators should you watch for signs of change? And what sectors of the stock market are outperforming? They'll often interview prominent guests from across the world of investing and business, bringing context to conversations around market cycles, Fed policies, inflation, and more. Listen today at schwab.com/oninvesting or wherever you get your podcasts. That's schwab.com/oninvesting.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, Lisa, the YouTube world, everybody on live chat, they want to know, are you playing pickleball?
Yeah. You know what? I haven't tried it. I'm not even a tennis person, but I hear it's very good exercise. I don't know. That's it. It
seems to be. The big thing is it's easy to play, easy to be competitive, yes. And that kind of thing. So, okay.
I mean, it's not like tennis where you go.
Well, the tennis folks are yeah. I think well, they're very concerned because they're like, it's taking over all yes. our courts. So,
yes, but yeah. it's like this battle between my mom's yes. a tennis player and she pickleball. Push yeah. shot. Like, come on.
So what do you got today with our newspapers?
Okay. Paul, this is a big one for you. Disney exploring ways to be a little bit more like Netflix. Oh. So their goal, not just to attract more subscribers to like Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN Plus, but also to get them to spend more time watching. Yes, they want them to stay on longer. So how they're going to do that, they're going to have some live channels that are going to be introduced for people who can't decide what to watch. And then for viewers who, sometimes I do this, but you bail on a series in the middle of watching it, you give up on it, now they're going to start sending you reminder emails. Like, hey.
Oh, no.
Yes. You're going to be haunted by the reminder emails. Like, hey, you stopped watching this series, you know, Mandalorian or whatever. Time to come back. So expect that in the next 6 months.
Well, to that beautiful summary from Lisa, they're just desperate. That's all there is to it.
Well, I think they're trying to... They're desperate to try to get to the profitability and the margins of Netflix. And one of the ways you're going to get there is through advertising. And so, as you know, Tom, advertising is your total audience and how much time they kind of spend on your
I'm huge. Everybody knows that. And I'm just beyond honored, folks, at the time spent listening data that my vast management staff is giving me. I mean, I'm humbled by time spent listening of Bloomberg surveillance. What do you got next?
Okay, this one, it's going to get you fired up. I know it. Okay, Amazon is cracking down on coffee badging.
Oh, I saw this.
Do you know what coffee badging is? It is when an employee badges in, they get a cup of coffee, and then they badge out just to say that they made the mandate. You know, right, they came into
Michael
the
Barr
office.
Used to do that. Yeah, just so everybody knows this. Michael Barr sits closer to Mr. Bloomberg
than anyone
in the company. And Mike one day caught Barr coffee badging.
He comes in at 2 a.m.
Went away.
Michael Barr gets badges in at 2 a.m., maybe badges out at 2:45.
2:45. Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's back in the Poconos. Well.
Are you kidding me?
And yes. So this is Business Insider, but now they're changing it. So now what Amazon is telling their employees is that they want you to stay a minimum of 2 to 6 hours per visit. So they're putting, they didn't have this mandate before. It's out of control.
Paul,
I know.
You're like the only legitimate manager in the room, folks, is P. Sweeney. So we're down to return to office. Is a two-hour workday?
That's what. Is that what for I just Amazon, heard? For Amazon, I guess. I mean, what happened to the eight-hour day? Is that now also?
I don't know.
No, what happened to you? Come out of college.
Yes.
You want to go. You're in the office 5 days a week, and your short day is 9.5 hours.
Exactly.
That's like religion.
I mean, if you get out in time that the bars are still open, they can get a beer with your friends before it's like 2 a.m.
The other day, Sunday, with this terrible assassination attempt, I did a 16-hour day.
Yes.
And one of the young kids is like, oh, my God, are you okay? And I said, we used to do this, you know, not every day, but routinely.
Yeah.
We used to do 12, 13-hour days.
Yeah.
Double shifts.
Double shifts I would do.
Next. It's
hybrid.
We're fired
up,
folks.
I know. Oh, this one's going to continue getting you fired up. Okay. This one is from the Wall Street Journal. It has this insight into how shoppers are hiding their purchases from their partners. So let's say, I don't know, Mrs. Keene goes on a shopping spree and it says
Let's pretend.
It talks about how said person would go about hiding these packages, okay? So some of the things they do, they enter through the back door, they shove the packages in the coat closet, behind the armoire, in the laundry basket, and then when the husband is asleep, or the spouse, it could be the wife, they put away the haul. So this is one of the things they're doing.
Like a solid marriage.
They're also putting things on and wearing them and just saying, oh, you don't remember this? I've had it for like 10 years. You remember this pocketbook? Okay. I've had it for like 5 years.
I am so guilty of this.
Oh, you do it.
Oh, yeah. I just acquired, Good Morning Flint, Michigan, a very rare, beautifully made Hofner Beetle bass from the Cavern Days. It's a replica of the Beetle bass that Paul McCartney lost. It's the most desirable used guitar in the world, and this is a replica of it. And that puppy snuck in
see?
The apartment like nothing. What do you got next?
And finally, yes, 2 weeks, almost less than 2 weeks before the Paris Olympics, the mayor of the city did, yes, take a dip into the Seine
really?
River. Yes. She wore a wetsuit. She put the goggles on. She did a mix of the crawl and the breaststroke, okay? She was joined by some government officials, some local swimmers, and she said, this is Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo, said that the Seine is exquisite. That's her exact words as she was paddling in the water. But you know the background of it, right? The water tests in early June showed unsafe levels of bacteria.
Who's the evil elf in The Hobbit? Who's the... Harry Potter.
Yes.
The evil elf.
Yes.
There's somebody out on YouTube with some snark video. And the mayor gets out of the river and it's the elf in The Hobbit or whatever.
That's what they look like.
We're busting Katie Greifeld. Hey, folks, somebody emailed me. They said, is she really going to have Gus swim the River Seine? And I said, no, we're kidding.
But
are they going to swim?
Are they going to do it? I think so.
Are they going to have this? The opening ceremonies are there.
But are they going to swim in it as part of the race, the triathlon or whatever it is?
Don't know yet.
All right.
I think they'll see. But the mayor's trying to say, hey, if I did it, everybody can do it.
Lisa Mateo with the newspapers.
This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast, bringing you the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. You can also watch the show live on YouTube. Visit the Bloomberg Podcast channel on YouTube to see the show weekday mornings from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern from our global headquarters in New York City. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen. And always on Bloomberg Radio, the Bloomberg Terminal, and the Bloomberg Business App.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
I'm Jason Kelly, Bloomberg Originals chief correspondent. Join me and sports leaders like Boston Celtics co-owner Steve Pagliuca, National Women's Soccer League Commissioner Jessica Berman, Orioles owner David Rubenstein, and even my co-host on The Deal, Alex Rodriguez, plus many more at Bloomberg Power Players New York on September 5th. Conversations that will empower you to stay ahead of the game. Register now at BloombergLive.com/PowerPlayers.